May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his holy scripture. 2 Corinthians 11. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. I feel a divine jealousy for you, for I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus that other than the one proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. I consider that I am not in the least inferior to those super apostles. Even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, if every way we have made this plain to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge? I robbed other churches to accept support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. As the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you? God knows that I do. This is the word of our God.
Good morning again. It's good to see you guys here again, gathering to worship God and learn from His Word. And I'm blessed to be here and to have the opportunity again to teach the Word of God. If you remember, a few weeks ago, Tim shared about 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we learned what? Anyone remember? How to judge, right, properly. The Corinthians were judging the wrong way because they judged by appearances. And I think chapter 11 shows us how important it is to know how to judge and discern. And the reason it matters is because it will either bring us closer to or further away from spiritual growth, and whether or not we are living according to God's will. People go out of their minds, of their way to create content that gets them traffic. In other words, they look for content that will get them lots of likes, followers, comments, and shares. One time, I came across a page where this guy dresses up as a janitor, walks around with a mop cleaning the floors in a gym, and whenever he runs into a really fit guy like me, not like me, but a really fit guy lifting heavy weights, he goes up to talk to them. A lot of these guys just ignore him or don't pay attention to him. And the guy dressed as a janitor asks if he can try to lift the waste they are lifting. And you know, working out like with deadlift and bench press and others exercise. But many of them would say to this guy, just be careful, that's really heavy. So that's dangerous, just don't do it. But what these people don't know is that this janitor is actually a professional weightlifter. And when they see him lift the bars with ease, they are amazed. And some even pull out their phones to record him. Paul is a real apostle, called by Jesus Christ to faithfully share the gospel. But the Corinthians judge him wrongly because of his weak physical appearance, his lack of eloquence, or his humble lifestyle. Paul is going to give them proof of his apostleship in order to correct the way they judge and show how this affects us, their purity and growth. So let's go to verse 1, chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me. And this word means that, folly, madness. So Paul is saying that what he's about to say, he wouldn't normally say it's foolishness to him. Verse 2, for I feel a divine jealousy for you since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. In the biblical context, jealousy can be negative or positive. Paul uses it in a positive way. He tells them that just like God has passion for his people, he also has jealousy to protect the church in Corinth. So I think verse 2 makes it clear that the reason Paul is going to speak foolishly isn't to brag about himself, but for the good of the church in Corinth. And the second part of verse 2 says, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. In Jewish culture, the father would prepare the bride until the wedding day. And Paul feels the responsibility as a spiritual father to protect the church in Corinth from thoughts and teachings that could confuse and contaminate them, which could lead them to live contrary to God's will. That's why Paul is going to speak in this foolish way. In the last few weeks, there have been a lot of graduations. Santi, for example, graduated a few days ago. And I saw a video of some kids dancing at their graduation. You know, that's what they do, right? They're singing. And this little girl, maybe she got stage fright, just stood there and didn't do anything. But her dad went up on stage, beat her up in his arms and tried to do the dance moves with her, what all the kids were doing. And everyone started to, you know, clapping for the dad's initiative. Paul is not interested in talking himself up, but he has to take a stand that is necessary for the Corinthians' own good. Okay, verse 3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Right there, it's Paul's concern for the Corinthians. It's important to remember that the serpent was used by Satan to deceive Eve. And I think Paul is reminding them that Satan's work continues even in the church to deceive, twisting the truth with false doctrines. And a span on later, Satan's word comes in many forms. And knowing how to discern and judge properly, it's important for our spiritual growth. Later in verse 14, he will say that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Let me say something. I thank God for this church. We are part of one church that they teach, we teach the truth of God. And I have talked with many of you, and I give glory to God because you recognize the centrality of Christ, of the gospel in Scripture. But we have to admit that we still have thoughts or behaviors that need to be corrected. And if someone dares to see themselves as not needing to be taught, then you are only proving your need to grow. And let me give you a few examples of things we need to evaluate in ourselves. There could be pride in our hearts when we compare ourselves to other churches or believers. And this brings division because it takes us away our opportunity to build up others' believers. And this can keep us from the command to love others. We could also reach a certain level of maturity, but still struggle with sin, thoughts, or behaviors without involving others to help us, to pray for us. We might do this to protect our good reputation in front of others or to keep our credibility. And I also have to admit that in many churches, things haven't been handled well when others fail. Instead of showing love, we show judgment or contempt for getting the grace we have received. So some churches become something really dangerous, a church that apparently has perfect members, because no one goes to the church itself to be encouraged and grow into the image of Jesus Christ. If you remember, in Revelation, Jesus praised the church in Ephesus for their work and for rejecting false apostles. But he called them out for losing their first love. Even though they knew how to tell the difference between a true and a false message, they had lost their love for Christ and for others. And we are all at risk of this. Let me give you two more examples. We might have lost our devotion. We go to church, we serve, we sin, but there's no devotion. There's no real surrender when we worship, no real openness when we receive His word, and that's dangerous for our lives. Another trap we can fall into is relying on our knowledge. To sustain our devotional life, we don't bring our prayers to God, we don't expose ourselves to Scripture, but we are still able to defend what we believe and how we interpret it. It is important to strengthen ourselves in the means of grace God has given us to grow in Him. And the jealousy Paul talks about is a jealousy that God also has for us, as I said in verse 2. So let's receive this call from God with humility. Now verse 4. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with readily enough. In the previous chapter, we saw that the Corinthians judged Paul wrongly, because of the way he spoke. But apparently, they, the Corinthians, respected and paid attention to other false prophets because of the way they spoke. the Corinthians put up with all kinds of teaching from these false teachers because of how they judge. The Corinthians valued outward appearance more than faithfulness to the gospel. And it's honestly sad to see that today some churches are packed, not because their spiritual leaders are faithful to the gospel, but because of the way they talk, or the way they dress, or how they entertain their congregation. See this image with me. It was like 5-8 years ago, maybe. And I remember seeing this, and honestly, the outfit has changed since then, right? Even though it made me laugh, and I have to admit, this is true. Lots of worship leaders and pastors are really focused on how they dress. Plus, they add a motivational message, giving people what they want to hear instead of what they need. And just to be clear, having a comfortable place with everything we need is important. But there are churches with bigger efforts for having good lights or instruments than for anything that actually helps the congregation grow in maturity. So the Corinthians judged the wrong way, looking at appearances, not at their leaders' faithfulness to the gospel of Christ. And now verse 5. Indeed, I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles. Even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way we have made this plain to you in all things. Verse 7. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge? If you notice, Paul doesn't defend his way of speaking. He admits it. And to me, that shows his maturity. And Paul doesn't consider himself inferior to the other apostles because of outward things, but because of the gospel of the message. The knowledge he has given them and the sacrificial love he has showed to them. And Paul says he has proven to them in every way. For example, in 1st Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul preached the true gospel to them. And also in his second letter, this letter, chapter 1, verse 12, Paul tells them he hasn't acted out of human motives, but by God's grace, he has acted for the good of the Corinthians. So Paul's knowledge was obvious in every part of his ministry, teaching, exhortation, correction, example, and defending the gospel. Verse A. I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supply my need. So I refrained and will refrain from bothering you in any way. So Paul tells the Corinthians that the knowledge he shared with them wasn't for personal gain. On the contrary, he tried not to be a burden to them. So Paul's goal was to share the gospel of Christ and not let anything get in the way of his message to the church in Corinth. And I also think it's important to notice that Paul did need help and support from other churches, but he used it to share Jesus Christ with other churches. Paul made sure the Corinthians didn't think he was in it for profit, but that his motivation was, like he said in verse 2, to present them pure before Jesus Christ. And remember, Paul started by saying he was going to speak foolishly, giving the Corinthians evidence of his true apostleship. And I don't think this passage is just about admiring Paul. Paul's foolishness is still meant to care for the church in Corinth. And I think Paul is just imitating Christ, who emptied himself, took on the form of a servant, submitted to human limitations. He lived in humility and obedience all the way to death on a cross. Jesus is the ultimate model of humility. Even though he had everything right to glory, he chose humiliation out of love for his own to fulfill the Father's will. And I think Paul's response is clear evidence of what the gospel does in the lives of sinners. That same message was God's power to save us. And the ability to love others as Christ loved us is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So let's imitate Paul by sharing the gospel with no personal agenda. Let's imitate Christ by serving our brothers and sisters for their building up. Now verse 10. As the truth of Christ is seeing me, this boasting of mine will not be silenced. In the regions of Achaia, and you said it another way, but I'm going to stick with Achaia. Corinth was the capital of Achaia, a Roman province in Greece. And apparently his reason for being proud of serving for free was something he could say not just in Corinth, but all over Achaia. Verse 11, and why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. And Paul anticipates that the Corinthians might think he is refusing their help because he doesn't love them. What a complicated church, huh? Some leaders defend themselves against accusations to protect their image. But that's not what Paul does here. He makes it clear that the reason he didn't accept their help was out of love for them. When I got to this verse, I thought about how the description of love Paul gave in his previous letter to the Corinthians is exactly what he is demonstrating here. God is love. It's his very essence and the foundation of the Christian's life. So how important it is for building up the church and also for our testimony to the world that we love one another as Christ loved us. And as I said before, God has given us his Spirit so we can love, and we do that in part when we judge rightly for our own growth and for others. When I moved to this country, many people told me, in this country, nothing is free. You will get charged for everything. So what a way to show the gospel to our neighbor when we serve each other sacrificially, forgive each other, and encourage each other in love, expecting nothing in return. Verse 12 and 13. And what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission, they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. So Paul finally calls out the false apostles clearly. They are in it for themselves, looking for recognition and personal gain. But Paul is different. He's not looking for profit or personal glory, but for the spiritual well-being of the church. That is what we should look for when we judge. Verse 14 and 15. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. So Paul also makes it clear that these false apostles are instruments of Satan, who disguises himself to deceive and draw believers away from the truth. So when Paul says angel of light, he's teaching us that Satan can disguise himself as something good, attractive, and apparently godly. He could show up as a messenger of God to deceive believers. The church, each one of us, has to always be alert to discern the spirits. The false apostles didn't show up as enemies of Christ, but as super apostles acting like they had more revelation than Paul. Paul doesn't want the church to judge just by eloquence or appearances, but by the truth of the gospel and the fruit of character. What we listen to matters. The knowledge we gain matters. The source that informs and teaches matters. The shows, movies, and music we listen to can sorely lead us toward impurity. We have to be really careful, stay alert, and know how to judge and discern. And make sure that what surrounds us, what we let into our minds, brings glory to God, because it builds us up and makes us more like Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for exhorting us. Your will is our sanctification, so we receive your word but with gratitude and humility. Help us guard everything that enters our minds to discern and judge with wisdom and love. May our judgment of others seek to build up both ourselves and others. Lord, we trust in your word, our source of wisdom. Teach us, guide us according to your will. In Christ Jesus we pray.